Microsoft Ignite is the company's biggest live event of the year. We just closed the books on Ignite 2024 in Chicago. It was the first Ignite where partners, developers, IT pros, and customers all came together for a single event. Of course, and totally unsurprisingly, AI and co-pilots were the headliners, but there were a number of other announcements and some non-announcements that are probably worth recapping for enterprise customers, both those who were in attendance with 14,000 of their closest friends, and for those who were not able to make it in person this year. For today's episode, I'm going to be the guest rather than the host. My colleague, Wes Miller, is putting me on the virtual hot seat for this Ignite 2024, Everything You Wanted to Know segment of our Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. Wes has been co-leading Directions on Microsoft's licensing boot camps for more than 12 years. In addition to teaching as part of the boot camps, Wes analyzes and writes about Microsoft security, systems management, and identity technologies, including Entra ID and Intune. And I'm Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions. I'm your host for this series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. Hello, Wes. Thanks for grilling me today, I think.
Okay, so let's start big picture and then sort of zero in on some of the announcements and non-announcements. How did Ignite feel to you this year? Did Microsoft actually find a way to talk to partners, customers, and IT pros in a single venue with a single unified message? Because that was definitely different from the conferences we've seen in the past.
It definitely is different. And I would say not really, right? It's tough to craft one message that applies to all these diverse constituencies with very different interests. So I felt like Microsoft was talking more to developers than they were talking to partners or IT pros or customers, at least for a good part of the keynote. And the weird part is developers are probably the smallest group of any at Ignite. I guess you could argue, like Microsoft tries to, that everybody can be a developer these days. And if you go with that, the idea of talking to developers makes more sense. But the whole constant push for everyone to add AI to apps and or to develop AI native apps, that was their loudest drumbeat. And I'm not sure that's really what IT pros, partners, and customers were there to hear about.
Yeah, it's definitely not what we're hearing about at the boot camp. But yeah, out of the stuff that you did hear, if there was one thing, what was the sort of big bang announcement of the show? You know, there's usually a product announcement or something. What was the thing you'd mention when people ask you what the most important takeaway was at this year's Ignite?
I'm laughing because a lot of people did ask me that who were at the show. They're like, so what did you think the big takeaway was? And I would just stand there going, I don't know.
I didn't expect a quiz.
I just felt like it was a very incremental Ignite. I feel like a lot of Ignite this year was about filling in the blanks of all the different announcements that they've been making over the past year plus, especially around co-pilots and AI. And I think if you look at the topic that Microsoft would say was the biggest bang announcement in terms of how they seeded it most broadly with the press, it was Azure AI Foundry. So Azure AI Foundry is this idea that you can have a one-stop shop for developing, deploying, and managing your AI apps. So that's what they seem to focus the most on in pre-briefing people. But I thought a lot of the IT pros who were there seemed a lot more interested in things like Windows Server 2025, SQL Server 2025, and Azure Local, which is the new name for Azure Stack HCI. That they seemed much more interested in those more traditional products than they seemed in the new stuff.
I have to think that has a lot to do with the fact that that's where they're spending their time and they don't see it changing, you know, anytime near term.
Yeah.
So when you think about the Copilot agent action stuff, you know, they're constantly changing the names of these things. It feels like Microsoft still continues to try, but it's really failing to explain what it's doing in the AI or AI assistant space. It's everything for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they did managed to make it clear, and I feel like people understand this idea, that there are these things called Microsoft Copilot 365 assistants in Teams and Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Outlook. I feel like people get that now and they understand basically what's going on there. But then They had an announcement in October 2024 that they called the Copilot Wave 2 announcement. And there they introduced this idea of autonomous agents. So autonomous agents are things that can do stuff like detect an email arriving, respond to it, and then use AI to trigger a set of business processes that are related to it, like looking up a sender's details or seeing prior communications with that person. But now they're also starting to roll out agents in Microsoft 365 that are going to complement these autonomous agents. So at Ignite, they talked about some of the Microsoft pre-built agents, like SharePoint agents, which is already available, Interpreter in Teams that gives you real-time speech-to-speech translation, employee self-service, these kinds of things. So they're going to add those as another category of agents. And there are now something else called actions, not to be confused with agents, that are going to come to Microsoft 365 Copilot. Right now, they're in private preview, and they're basically simple fill-in-the-blank prompt kinds of things. So you could create an action that would do something like automatically generate a summary of an action, a set of action items at the end of the day, or to set reminders so that you could ask team members for input at a set time each week, that kind of stuff. All in all, I just still feel like it feels like a hodgepodge, right? And it's really, maybe intentionally so, not clear which are free, which are part of your subscription to Microsoft 365 or Copilot, and which will cost you more. Surprising. I know. It's not clear.
It's just weird because you'd figure after 2 years of this, they would have clarified stuff, but it just seems like there's moving things around to. Was there anything in the AI space that seemed to resonate with attendees? That's a lot of stuff there.
There was. The biggest thing I feel that they did that was positive is they're finally being really clear about the guidance around how customers should be securing their data before deploying Copilots. They should have done this a year ago when Copilot for Microsoft 365 first came out. But now, finally, a year later, here they are. They're starting to do that. And no surprise to us, since we kind of have followed closely along here, but I think a lot of customers are surprised about this. Purview is the key, right? Satya Nadella even said during the keynote, the biggest product of this show is Purview. And I heard someone next to me go, what's Purview? So Purview is like the governance and compliance suite that Microsoft has. And this is what you would use if you want to use a Microsoft product to get your data estate in order before you deploy these Copilots. But up till now, I feel like the documentation for that hasn't been that clear. There haven't been like a set of rules or workflow suggestions around that. And now on Microsoft Learn and in other places, there are.
I guess that sort of makes sense, but it's interesting that, you know, for almost 2 years since the GitHub Copilots and you know, a year since the other Copilots, they really haven't provided any good guidance. This is almost classic Microsoft where deployment, compliance, security are all late. I guess, you know, now we're seeing Copilot wrapped in Purview.
Right.
Sorry. But, so they put that off and finally answered some questions. I mean, were attendees into all these AI announcements? I mean, if not, what were they excited about? I mean, we heard about the products, but what else?
Yeah. So I felt like they weren't super excited about it. There wasn't a lot of applause during the keynote. And a couple of sessions I went to after the keynote, you could see the speakers were waiting for applause, and when no one applauded, they applauded themselves on stage, which is super awkward. But partners just seem kind of blasé, those who were there. And I had one partner say to me, the message is get on the AI train or jump off. That's what they're telling us, basically. The sessions that seemed to do really well, though, again, were the on-prem enterprise software ones for Windows Server, SQL Server, those kind of products. And I felt like those were the ones where people couldn't get in. They were selling out. They didn't have enough space. So to me, that's kind of telling about what's going on there.
Yeah, it sort of resonates with the complaints and stuff that we're hearing from customers. So it's trying to get excited about AI stuff, I guess.
All right, I think this is a good place to take a break so I can talk about where Wes and other members of our team will be at the start of 2025. So the next directions on Microsoft Licensing and EA Negotiation Bootcamp for IT and software procurement professionals is happening live in Orlando, January 13th to 15th. This is a more than 18-hour training, and it's the perfect time for you and your team to work on solving your Microsoft licensing problems in real time with your peers and the Directions on Microsoft team who will be there. Your company is spending millions of dollars on Microsoft licensing annually. Don't you wonder if you're overpaying? Do you have a good grasp of the complexities of Microsoft licensing rules and how you can use them to cut costs? Do you feel like you could benefit from talking to people who have helped others with their really complex Microsoft EA negotiations? If you do, you should come to the bootcamp. We've got proven strategies and tactics to share. If you want to crush your Microsoft EA negotiations, come to Orlando in January. If you cannot attend in person, we do have upcoming virtual licensing trainings, but the in-person bootcamp is really where you want to be, if at all possible. In addition to bootcamps, we offer advisory services as well, like EA negotiation support and Microsoft strategy assessments, where we help you one-on-one with your specific Microsoft product questions and licensing issues. Go to directionsonmicrosoft.com or email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com to learn more about all of the different services we offer. Okay, back to our Ignite 2024 recap.
Great. So did you go to any of the dedicated partner sessions at Ignite? I'm curious what the company's marching orders out to those partners were for those kind of people. How did they receive the news? I mean, there was a bunch of stuff right before Ignite about those EA licensing changes that you found, and the Power BI and Teams phone price hikes, which smells a little, looking like E5 going up, but not yet. And then, of course, the weird Copilot financing news, that 5% additional fee, but for you get the convenience of paying monthly. It's like the car dealership a little bit. Anyway, I digress. So what's going on with the partner sessions?
Yeah, so I was happy I got time to go to some of these partner sessions, because it's always very interesting to hear what Microsoft is telling partners versus what they're telling customers and developers. They're not all the same message. So in the partner sessions that I went to, I think I went to two or three, they had a set of marching orders, mostly around AI, but also around, we need to get customers off on-prem. We need to get them into the cloud if they're not already there. We really need you partners to sell E5. Not surprising. They're trying to get people moving up the E stack. I felt like the partners I talked to at the show, they were kind of surprised they didn't hear more in these sessions about those announcements you just mentioned. There's some big licensing changes coming around enterprise agreements. So if you're a smaller company, small to mid-sized company, you're not going to be allowed to renew your EA. And they didn't really talk about that in any of the sessions I went to. And I think partners wanted to hear more about that, especially the CSP partners, because they're the ones who are going to be taking up the slack there. Price increases for Power BI and Teams phone. Yeah, I wasn't that surprised they didn't call that out, because that's not a fun topic. Price increases that you might have to eat as a partner rather than pass along to your customer. Those kind of more granular things, they were not the topic of the partner conversations, at least the big picture ones on the big stage. It was more just trying to get people revved up about AI and copilots and EA's going away, not so much in the picture, which was interesting.
It's sort of classic Microsoft. You don't want to put too much bad news in a fun event like Ignite. So it's a little sprinkle of bad news before, and then we'll follow up later. But I guess it's also that it's the small and medium customers, and they want this to be so much about enterprise. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
Out of all the other stuff, AI. The one thing we'd all been wondering for a long time is, what's the deal with Azure Stack HCI? There were so many just sort of things waiting in the wings. And at Ignite, I guess we finally got part of the answer. But honestly, it seems like everybody walked away with more questions than answers.
Right.
Okay, so it's all going to be Azure Local now or not? And can you explain or clarify it a little bit more? Because I think we still need some clarification from Microsoft.
We do. It was funny. Right before Ignite, we at Directions were trying to figure out what we should be writing about what's going on with Azure Stack HCI. And we kept talking to Microsoft about it. We're like, so where are you on your roadmap with this? And where is the next version? And they kept saying, we can't talk about that right now, which in Microsoft speak means something is going to happen very soon. And it did. So they're basically rebranding Azure Stack HCI as Azure Local. During the keynote, they didn't say that, right? During the keynote, they're like, we get this brand new thing. It's called Azure Local. And everyone's like, what's that? And then I tweeted, Azure Local equals Azure Stack. And people are like, ah, okay, good. Now I know what that is. But you know,
took all the excitement out of the room.
I did. I deflated the excitement. But you know, if you think about it, HCI, that concept of hyperconverged infrastructure, that used to mean something, but I feel like it doesn't really resonate with people anymore. And so the name local actually is a pretty good name, I think, because the whole idea is you want to run Azure locally in your shop and manage it using Azure Arc and be able to attach to Azure services. So the local name makes more sense. And it basically is, from what I understand, Azure Stack HCI is Azure Local. And over time, I'm guessing the products called Azure Stack Edge and Azure Stack Hub are just going to go away. Right now, they're not going away, but they will over time. So they're still working with the same set of hardware providers, people like Dell, HP, and Lenovo, who are going to provide a bunch of customizable servers for customers to buy and then run with Azure Local. That's kind of how I think of it in my head.
Yeah, but in classic rebrand form, it's going to take a long time for it to come in. So interesting.
Yeah.
For me, I always thought the HCL reminded me of hydrochloric acid, which is even, you know, not less friendly than anyway.
Yes, it is.
So what were you surprised you didn't hear about Ignite? I mean, it was, I hope they talk about, and they sure didn't. What kind of things were those?
Yeah. So I really thought we were going to hear a lot about Security Copilot. Because it feels like, okay, they announced it, they've started like surfacing it through various endpoints, and they did mention it a few times, but I really thought this would have been the opportunity to talk a lot more about that, especially to partners and IT pros, really explain more, how does this work, and how is it priced, and how is it licensed, and where are we going with it, where's the roadmap? Maybe there were sessions there about that, but I didn't see them. So I was surprised. Here's a company saying security is job number one, and then you don't talk that much about Security Copilot. And the other thing that actually wasn't surprising because of what's going on in the world right now, but it's kind of telling, is they barely mentioned OpenAI at all during the keynote, during the show. And so, you know, for years, they've been talking up their relationship with OpenAI is kind of their secret sauce and their first mover advantage. And at this show, I think maybe I heard them mention OpenAI twice. And it does make sense when you think about how now Microsoft is kind of more like a frenemy of OpenAI than a partner. They're actually competing head to head with OpenAI in a lot of cases for customers. And OpenAI has been very public about, hey, we don't think Microsoft's giving us enough compute resources in Azure, so we're going to have to look at some other vendors to supplement our main partner. So it's a little contentious there, but it was very silent on the OpenAI front.
Interesting. Yeah, as far as Security Copilot, I agree. It's interesting. It was barely talked about. And in fact, I noticed in the some of the resources, they did discuss it, but it's still a weird amorphous thing because it's Security Copilot tends to pop up in the strangest places, like Intune, which is not really a security product. Mm-hmm. Yes, it helps. Or in Purview, which is, again, not really a security product, but they're intertwined. So, I'll be shocked if we don't see a renaming of Security Copilot at some point here. But regardless,
really? Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that they didn't really talk that much about it. It was just sort of little bit, you know, drips and drabs. But I think it's also mm-hmm. It's such a reactive tool. Who knows? Let's see what happens over the next year.
Right.
So was there really any relevant product news? I mean, we heard a little bit about the product launches that happened or product releases that happened right before. But was there really anything else relevant as far as product news for customers or partners?
So I think for partners, when I was in the main partner session, they put up a slide that said, here are your five things that you need to be doing as a partner. First one, copilots on every device across every role. Not surprising, right? That we're all about copilots and AI. Next one, another AI thing, We want you to help customers create differentiated AI solutions by helping them develop these in-house in conjunction with you and us. Third, which I thought should have been first, securing the cyber foundation for every customer, right? Security is job number one, but really it's job number two or three, right? And then they have a talking point where they call it, we need you to help us with our core execution of Microsoft 365. So what they mean there is upsell people to E5, basically. And again, as I mentioned earlier, migrations, like they're telling partners, get out there and get these people off of on-prem and get them in the cloud. There's still too many people running on-prem. But customers, what were they excited about? The on-prem stuff, right? They're still running that. They're still running Windows Server 2025 and SQL Server 2025, which is now in preview, going to come out sometime next year, got a big round of applause, right? So those are the things that a lot of the people in this audience, maybe because they're IT pros, care a lot about and they're familiar with, and they're charged with deploying these and figuring out what to do with them at the show. The other thing that I think people were kind of curious about, both customers and maybe partners too, was this thing they announced called Windows 365 Link. So what this thing is, it's a little black box, literally, that looks like a mini PC, but it's actually a thin client designed to work only with Windows 365. So if you buy one of these, and it's going to be on sale in April in select markets for $350, it'll let you hook up Windows 365 in a dedicated way. All it's going to do is run Windows 365. Inside, it has a hardened version of Windows, like a very weird one-off kind of version of Windows in there. And so all you can do with this little box is run Windows 365, but it's a secure, thin client kind of device. So people were kind of intrigued by it, like, what is that thing? And why would you use it and how would you use it? So I'm going to be very curious to see if there's a lot of uptake on that or if people are just like, yeah, that was a gimmick. They needed a piece of hardware for the show. I don't know.
I could really see a lot of logic in the Windows 365 Link. You know, there's a lot of markets that traditionally have problems with employees moving around with workloads. So, you know, healthcare, retail, hospitality are customers that we run into all the time. And immediately when I saw that thing, I'm like, okay, well, it all comes down to price, which I haven't heard a whole lot about the price, but that's the main thing that they sort of needed as a missing link, is the secure gateway to Windows 365. So there's potential there, but what do you hear about price?
Yeah, $350. I'm sure there'll be discounts for volume and such, but $350 a piece for the little black box. I don't know if you're going to get any kind of deal if you buy it at the same time as you get a subscription to Windows 365 or how that'll work. But yeah, the price seems reasonable, especially like you're saying, if you use it for bring your own device or first-line worker type applications, it's not outrageous. It's better than buying everybody there a PC with Windows on it to access Windows 365.
Yeah, and I think as long as it reduces the friction so people can sit down, do their work, get on, you know, get on with their day, it'll be interesting to see how it gets taken up, or if we wind up hearing about it in the Island of Misfit Toys in a year or two when they're on sale.
In a landfill along with Windows Phone. Ooh, too soon, I know.
Windows Phone and the ET game cartridges. Oh, sorry. Again. So, okay. Yeah, I totally agree with your point as far as the cyber foundation. You know, everything you mentioned as call outs of those five, all of them were upsell, except for security, which I completely agree. In fact, it should be, you know, following developers, it should be item zero, because but of course there's not nearly as much revenue to be made there. And security, unfortunately, is one of those things that often winds up not being shored up until after an event, but I digress. Okay.
I didn't mention CrowdStrike. I should have. They did talk about CrowdStrike, and it was funny because they talked about it as the, quote, July event. They don't call it CrowdStrike anymore. They call it the July event, that whole meltdown with CrowdStrike's update, taking down a whole lot of Windows PCs all over the world. They did talk pretty heavily about how they're going to be making modifications to Windows in the coming year, in 2025, to help thwart anything like that being able to happen again. So they've already said they're going to try to work with security vendors so they don't have to access the kernel with their drivers and updates. But they're also going to be doing some things around administrator privileges and other features to make Windows more resilient to those kinds of incidents. And I think that message landed very well with people at the show.
Yep. I wonder why.
I know.
People spend a lot of time doing garbage cleanup. Yeah, I think the most interesting thing I saw about the changes they were proposing there was, you know, suggesting using rings, which honestly the event shouldn't have happened, but because the vendor in question pushed out an update that was deeper than, you know, just an information file. You know, it's the kind of thing that if it was tested better, it wouldn't have happened. So hopefully they actually do follow the suggestions Microsoft has and put rings in there and actually do some testing to make sure that these things don't blow up on a couple million PCs at a time.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, overall, it seems like a little bit of the mojo is gone. You know, it used to be TechEd was the big event of the year for IT pros. Is some of the mojo gone? Is Ignite even as relevant as it used to be, or is it was originally intended to be? It's about Ignite. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the shift like from big boom products to services that get features and drips and drabs nonstop really makes it challenging for the company to have that sort of big bang show anymore. I mean, again, a lot of the big news wasn't really the AI stuff. It was about on-prem products hitting the market. So what do you think? What's the future for Ignite?
Yeah, so I think what Microsoft's trying to do is what some of its rivals have been doing, people like Oracle and Salesforce and AWS. They have this one giant event every year in a city. They completely take over a city. They bring their customers, their partners, their developers, all of them to this event, and they can claim giant attendance numbers and lots of product announcements. So I think that's what Microsoft's trying to do. They're putting together the old partner show and their IT pro show, which is Ignite. I'm curious if at some point Build, which is their developer show, is going to get munged in here too, because that's been a rumor for years that they're going to combine Build and Ignite. So maybe at some point, not so far away, they will put Build into Ignite too, and it will become their big one-stop conference for the year. I don't know. All I can tell you is if there's more than 14,000 people there, lunch is not going to be possible. That you should just watch when they set up for lunch for 14,000 people all at once. It's insane. And everybody's trying to get in and out of sessions, and they're setting up these long lines that snake around the whole convention center because they're going to have 14,000 people sit down to eat together. I don't know how many more they could add to that and still pull it off. But anyway, this year at Ignite, they said they had 80 new product announcements as part of the show. So that sounds like a lot, but in past Ignites, they used to have like 200 product announcements, right? So this is a lot smaller in terms of new products. And I think you're right, because during the year, they want to keep momentum going and they have to keep talking up AI and they have to keep talking up security. They have to dribble out announcements throughout the year otherwise they might have saved up for a big event like Ignite. So yeah, I don't know if you can really do a giant big bang show like Ignite and still maintain your momentum throughout the rest of the year with product announcements. It's going to be interesting to see how that show evolves.
Let's just sit back and watch and see what they do.
Exactly. So next year, if you want to go to Ignite, it's going to be the week of November 17th, and it's going to be in San Francisco, they announced. So that should be interesting as well. We haven't gone back to San Francisco for a big Microsoft event in maybe like 10 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah, last event I remember was a Windows Phone event. So no, it's been a little while.
Yeah, it has. So maybe I'll see you there next year, Wes. Who knows? All right. Well, that was fun. You weren't too hard on me. I appreciate that, Wes. So thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And to close, I would like to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directions on Microsoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you would like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via Twitter or Blue Sky at Mary Jo Foley. And speaking of social media, give us a follow at Directions SFT on Twitter or Directions on Microsoft on Blue Sky for all the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.